I'm Jackie Pierre.
I'm Joseph Planta.
And we're two peas in a podcast at thecommentary.ca for Monday, May 2nd, 2016.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good. I was having some issues with the date there.
Yeah, it's a new month, I guess, and
it is.
The funny thing is, the last week I had to write something, and like I filled out a form or something, and I wrote 2015, and it's already been 4 months.
Yeah, I know. I've been doing that too, actually.
Yeah, I wonder if I legitimately think that it's still 2015, or I just don't write the year enough.
Yeah, maybe it's because we're not writing the year enough.
I mean, who writes the year? I mean, no one writes checks anymore, right?
I do.
Well, yeah. I still haven't. Well, we talked about this months ago. I still haven't ordered checks, so I obviously haven't written a check in, well, probably a year.
Oh, yeah, I need my checkbook.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah, did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was nice. Nice, warm weekend and beautiful. How about you?
I did. I went to Victoria, as I mentioned, last week.
Right, you talked about that last week. So.
Yeah, I was there for a friend's birthday. And,
nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I was in Victoria Saturday and in Vancouver Sunday. I ran into people on both days that I knew. And I found that my small talk is indeed that, very small.
Right.
The other thing is about running into people is, like, I don't expect to run into people, right? Because when I'm going somewhere, I'm actually going somewhere and not running for elections and
right.
wanting to, you know, shake hands with people and stop by. You know
and
what I mean?
Kiss babies.
Yeah. So when I do run into people, I it feels very deer in the headlights, sort of. You know, like
Like
I ran into someone on the weekend, someone who you and I know, who I've known for, I guess you and I have known this person for
a long time.
Yeah, I mentioned the person to you before we started.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like you run into them and you don't know what to ask, even though you haven't seen them in so long. Right?
Exactly. 'Cause
so it's a hello, very quick hello, and, you know, faking small talk.
Yeah.
And then getting out of there. And then now, since I've hours and hours after seeing them, I've got a million questions now that I should have asked.
Of course, though, right? It's so awkward, I know. I've told you, I've embarrassingly, but I have dodged people just to avoid that small talk.
Like, what are you doing, though? Like, pretending you don't know them head down, or what?
No, like, I literally saw them, like, ahead of me. Maybe about half a block ahead. So I detoured to an alley. So listen to this. I go through an alley thinking, okay, I'm going to, like, just detour this person. Because it was after work. And honestly, when I'm after work, it's like a little while. It's like driving a standard, right? Like, you got to transit. It's like you got to shift gears, right? And after work, I need some time. I need, like, a bit of a buffer. And it was pretty much as soon as I walked out the door of my office and I said, oh God, I can't. I just can't right now. Not particularly that person, just
anybody.
Just anybody in particular at that moment. So I went down the alley, an alleyway, thinking, okay, I'm going to dodge them. Of course, when I exit the alley, that person is right there. So my plan didn't even work, and it was really and then, of course, you know, I imagine the shock then. When, you know, I'm thinking, you're a genius. And then I come out the alley and they're there. Like, give me a break, so.
Yeah, and you know, I'm not antisocial. I don't think I am.
No, it's just, you're just, like,
yeah, and,
you know.
And I'm a delight at lunch or you know, over drinks.
When you're on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just as, to the people that I ran into this weekend, and there was one in Victoria and one here in Vancouver, I probably looked either intoxicated or or just, like, socially inept.
Socially inept, exactly. Or
like, rude, you know what I mean? And well, I didn't mean to be. And
I understand how it comes off. I'm often put in those precarious positions, and it's uncomfortable. We don't mean to be awkward. We just need, you know, a little heads up. Maybe we need some training on our, you know, small talk banter.
Yeah, and it's you know, sometimes I just don't want to talk to anybody, and so I will, you know.
Well, yeah, avoid.
Yeah, and so I just take a hint, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
After listening to this, you people should take a hint and expect me to be, well, to look angry, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I can't always be on. Can't always be on for you people.
But by the way, I'm not going to mention who I ran into. Even though they obviously don't listen to this program. you know who the person is, Jackie. I said that I kept in touch with you regularly. And they said over the phone, there was a moment there where I froze, and I thought, well, do I go, like, start ranting and raving in the store there? Why aren't you listening to this effing show?
That critically acclaimed. Show.
That I do this with Jackie every effing week.
God damn it. Rude. See these people, and then, you know, and then we're expected to have conversations with them in public, just off the cuff. They know nothing about us.
And, you know, the person also said that they kept in touch, not kept in touch, but followed us on Facebook.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, because then you would have known.
Then you'd know how we actually communicate.
And this show that we've been doing since September.
Exactly.
I mean, I did. I thought, well, maybe I should do that just to be amusing, because I can be quite funny when I start ranting and raving. But, I would just sound crazed, wouldn't
I? Maybe pompous a bit, maybe. You know?
Well, I have no problem being that.
Of course, but you know, were we ready for that at that moment? Probably not. Like, you weren't even prepared for a regular conversation.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, so. I went in there to grab my lunch, and. I walked out to grab the paper, and I got stopped on the way out. Anyway, I think I'm overthinking this, probably.
It happens. I completely understand it. It happens to me often. I always feel weird.
The other thing that I've been overthinking, well, not overthinking, but just over-reading about, is this whole Kelly and Michael thing, and I know we talked about this last week, but I can't tell you how many articles I've read about this online.
Yeah.
And on Tuesday this past week, she came back and she gave a little speech, I guess, at the beginning of the show. And I thought it was really good. I thought she addressed the uncomfortable matters. She talked about the why she did what she did, because she was blindsided by both the network and the people that syndicate her, and
right.
And how she felt really concerned about her job, that if he left, the network might decide to cancel that 9 o'clock show and make it a third hour of Good Morning America.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I mean, it is a very popular show. It has a great following, and you know what a disappointment that would be for the fans. I mean, what did you think of what she said? And she was quite funny, I thought, too, in her little speech.
No, she was absolutely right. You know, to be honest, that's something that we discuss, something that we focus on right now, actually, in the workplace, is respect in the workplace. And that I thought it was funny that she mentioned that, because it is a conversation, you know, to be had more often and more openly. Again, I personally feel that, you know, show business, TV is a little different than the regular working world. We all know what it's like in TV. Like, it's, you know, one day you're looking at one host, the next day it could be somebody else. That's the reality of it. But I guess, you know, behind the scenes, yeah, absolutely, that respect should have been there, that, you know, maybe she had gotten a heads up of sorts. And clearly that conversation didn't happen, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you and I have worked at places for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we both feel, wherever we work, and it's not just because you've worked there a long time. She's been with ABC for 26 years, as she said in her speech. The employer ought to be a little more forthright, I think.
exactly. They need, it's the employer that has the responsibility to be a more transparent and more clear and, you know, forthcoming to their employees
and
about
what's going
on and what their future is, because there needs to be trust between the employer and the employee.
And I think that's in the symptom of the public believing that or needing that or wanting that is in the politics. I mean, the success of Bernie Sanders rising up against big corporations and the sort, and on the other side, the rise of Trump, I think, is symptomatic of a distrust of authority, because authority has been
betrayed the public,
and so often. And television, I mean, it's important that TV reflects these decisions. Otherwise, you know, I mean, it's easy for them just to say, well, he's leaving and we're all happy about it. Well, they're obviously not happy because they've pushed his departure to 2 weeks from now,
when it
was supposed to be sometime in the summer, right?
Right.
So it's sort of, you know, and it's just like every other workplace,
who,
right?
Who really pushed that? Yeah, it is. It is, and it's
because if you're going to fire someone, you're not going to have them stick around for 3 months while they're disgruntled, right? Yeah.
Usually not. You know, I have seen it though.
Yeah.
Not that it's unheard of, but you know, it makes for a really hostile work environment.
So
that person now, they're just kind of, their hostility is being spread around.
And they're just mailing it in.
After a while, right? I mean, no good employer would really want that in their workplace, because then it lowers workplace morale and it sends a message to the other employees. I personally, that wouldn't be the message I'd want to send to my employees, but you know, to each their own. That's what these big corporations, they don't really care.
Do you care who replaces Michael Strahan?
You know, I'm not really a watcher. I don't watch the show, so to be honest, I could care less. But but I'm sure I have some people that I think I've thought, you know, kind of ponder thought of a few people.
Yeah, like that guy Andy Cohen.
Oh yeah, Andy Cohen. I think they were talking about him, but he's so busy already.
I mean, he's a very likable guy. I think I've mentioned this on the show before. But the one name I guess they're mentioning is Anderson Cooper. And apparently, they're very close, Kelly Ripa and him. So,
well, I think men and women alike would love Anderson Cooper, too, because who doesn't?
And then the other name that's come up is Josh Groban.
Absolutely not.
Really?
Oh, God.
He's very funny.
He's a singer. Though.
Well, he's very funny, too. I mean, he was on The Office for a bit.
I don't think so. No, please.
Well, the ironic thing for Michael and Kelly, or Kelly and Michael, is that they won the Emmy this past weekend for Best Host. So,
isn't that amazing? Isn't that something?
And less people think that they... apparently they didn't show up at the Emmys to collect it. Well, they didn't show up last year either, so it's not like... they were expected to be there to accept the rewards, but
good for them.
And it's May 2nd, and people are choosing this day to mark the 30th anniversary of the opening of Expo on all the radio stations in the city, and at least one of the morning shows will be talking about memories of Expo. We've seen a bit of this already on the weekend at the Museum of Vancouver and Science World. They will be having exhibits and the sort. I think they had at Science World on Sunday the buses, that, you know, 1986 style buses.
Oh, right.
So,
you know what? I think they did. I wasn't downtown, but I had a friend who was visiting from out of town, and I did notice a lot of pictures of retro cars and such.
Yeah. So we were
on the bus.
So we were four when Expo happened, but I mean, it's one of those things where a lot of us have a lot of memories about what happened in 1986.
Yeah. I remember some things.
Yeah.
I mean, yourself.
Yeah, yeah, it's something we all went to and more than once, right?
Oh, for sure. It was, you know, it was like the biggest thing to come to the city since, I don't know what, since forever, right?
Yeah, on a world scale, certainly. I mean, they had the Empire Games, I guess, in 1954.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, in our recent history, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, we had relatives come from all over to
attend.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal. And it was accessible to everybody, you know, unlike the Olympics, like
right.
You were kind of comparing it to, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, the Olympics, well, it was hard to get Olympics tickets, and if you did, they were probably expensive, right?
Crazy.
So Expo was reasonably priced. I posted on Twitter last week because I looked for my Expo passport. So I guess for people that might be listening to this who might not understand, so Expo is a bunch of pavilions that you went to, and each pavilion had a theme or some exhibit or some attraction, and you bought this passport, and I looked at the back of one of them, and it was $350, and I asked on Twitter last week what that means in today money, and a guy from the island tweeted me back and said that the average, well, I guess the minimum wage in 1986 was $365.
Oh.
So that sort of puts that in perspective as to, you know, what that passport cost, etc. And so you take the passport and you go to all these pavilions, and then you'd get stamped, and you showed that you went to, well, the Germany pavilion or the the China pavilion or BCTV or, you know, BC Hydro.
That was fun.
Yeah. So I looked at my passport and, you know, all these stamps and things. There was this Jimmy Pattison stamp and
So
and it changed the city, didn't it? I mean, that whole area changed. I mean, it was just swamp, wasn't it?
It did. It was swamp land, definitely, and it absolutely changed the city. It really put Vancouver on the map, if not in the world, but at least within Canada. We became a little popular with Expo, for us 80s babies, that was like one of the things, that was part of, a big part of our history. I think it's important to remember.
Yeah, the other thing that I find quite odd is, well, we know how it's changed just the buildings in that area, but also a lot of it is still empty. I mean, those places between, say, where Rogers Arena is to Science World on the north side of the False Creek, I mean, that's still cement, right? It's all just, I mean, they have the big Cirque du Soleil thing every year, but I mean, other than that, it's pavement. Whereas we're on the south side, which was also nothing for a very long time, has now been built up with condos, and that's because of the Olympics. So the north side of False Creek is all empty and has been empty for 30 years. You'd think that something would have been done by now. But I guess they're building condos, I guess, right?
Right. Yeah, so I guess something is happening now. But yeah, no, that space has sat vacant and kind of in limbo for years.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it had the Expo 86 curse.
With your kids, because they're around the age, they would have been the same age that we were around the time of Expo during the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Do they view the Olympics as something significant in their life as, say, we do with Expo?
I don't think so, you know. They don't, especially my eldest one, because she would have been more, she was,
sports.
Yeah, like, more aware of it. My youngest was she was only like two when the Olympics was here. But yeah, Simone, she doesn't really mention it very much. They don't speak of it at all, really.
Because I remember going into elementary school and high school, and then like we talked about Expo, and we would tell friends of ours who, say, weren't in town during Expo about it and things like that.
Right.
But,
well,
yeah.
No, I'm wondering if it's because, well, the kids never really went to any of the Olympic events.
That's true, yeah.
So yeah. I don't know, maybe that's why it's maybe not as ingrained in their, etched in their memory. I mean, so I don't know. I did stress the importance, you know, that it was pretty, you know, really cool that the Olympics was in our city. Again, Simone was really young at the time, so
yeah.
They were both kind of like 2010. Yeah, Simone would have been about 7.
Yeah.
So they were just little people, and they didn't really get it, and it wasn't, I was not prepared to take them down there.
Yeah, so we would have been 4 during Expo, but it's funny how we have memories of it, and I'm wondering if it's because of, say, watching television and reading up on Expo, do we take those memories and make them our own, even though we are obviously young to remember them?
That's what I was saying, right? Maybe maybe the memories I have aren't even real memories. Maybe they're just memories I've made up and put together. Who knows?
Yeah.
But, I mean, also to that fact, though, we didn't have all the things cluttering our heads then like we do now, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my children's memory or recollection of anything is almost zero to none in comparison to what we have. You know, the little memories we have of Expo is, you know, say having the passport book or even, you know, the entering and seeing Ernie Expo or...
Expo Ernie, the robot,
You know, those little things. Whereas my kids, I don't think they'd even, they're just like, I don't even think they can even remember yesterday.
They don't remember the mascot of the 2010 games.
Oh, God. Well, they might only because, you know, they had those stuffies.
Yeah.
And the kids got, God, they probably got 4 or 5 of each. One, because they started to become like, you know, they were starting to just give them away.
And remember when the red mittens that they became, and they sold out and things like that. And I mean, I have a pair because someone, I guess the people at work gave us a pair.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah, and they're in my office somewhere.
Like, now they're just giving them away.
Yeah.
And at first it was like $25 a pair, like something insane.
Yeah.
So, you know, you were mentioning you were in Victoria.
Yes.
You said you had gone there, Boo, so you didn't really get to speak about it. And you mentioned the friend's birthday.
Yes, so I guess we should wish May a happy birthday. She's a
happy birthday, May.
A very loyal listener of ours.
Oh, we have to definitely make mention of those people. They're the ones that keep us running.
The only one, yeah.
The only one.
Yeah. But the reason why I went was because of this book sale, and it's the Victoria Times columnist, the local paper there. They hoard all these books, and then once a year they rent the curling arena out, and they put all the books out. I can't remember what the figure is. It's either 100,000 or 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
It's a significant number of books nonetheless, and it's swamped and it's full of people. We waited in line to get in probably about 20 minutes. And I'm a pretty fast shopper, so I had all my books, and I was out. We were out by within an hour. But, you know, people are there, and they're, you know, rummaging through all these books for boxes of books. And it's one of the most organized sales, and I really just, I mean, I can't tell you how astonished I am and amazed by the work that those volunteers do. It's such a well-run operation.
By volunteers.
Yeah, and they sort the books, and it's so easy for someone like me who's, you know, who knows what they're looking for.
What you're looking for, great.
Yeah, and the one thing I'll add for people listening to us that are sort of interested in books is this year I noticed that the Pierre Burton books, which you go to any garage sale, any thrift store, you will see Pierre Burton books, because they sold lots during his lifetime, but nobody read them, and so they're getting rid of them, right? And the same with Peter C. Newman books. This time, I noticed that they didn't have their own section, they were sort of put away, so I don't know if that means that no one wants them anymore. After 60 years of publishing Peter Newman books and Pierre Burton books, no one wants them. Anyway, the Times Collins books, yeah, people should go. I mean, even if you don't collect books like I do.
No, it sounds definitely sounds fun and interesting, and like you could go through.
You know, and your kids are there, and you know, they got children's. They have every conceivable genre of books. And I mean, the most expensive thing you could walk out with is $3. That's a hardcover book.
That's amazing.
Paperbacks are like $1, and soft covers $2. And, it's a great sale, and they raise a lot of money for the charities there in Victoria. And, as I said, I suggest everybody go to the Times Colonist Books at least once in their lifetime. They'll enjoy it. This is my second time, and I think it's the best-run book sale in British Columbia.
I'm going to have to check that out. I always like a good book sale. I like the, like we were saying once, the it's always interesting to see the little stuff written inside books.
Yeah, and I have a story about that. So I bought a book, and inside the cover, it said, hello, this book belongs to Sonia Virk. If found, please return to or call. And then there was a phone number there. And then, I was just looking through the book, and at the back of the book it said, thanks for reading this book, I hope you enjoyed it, which is Sonia Virk had written in.
Right.
So I took the book on Sunday afternoon, and I phoned the number. And
did you really?
I did, yeah. And so I tried to figure out when, because the book was published in the 80s, and so I figured that this person probably didn't own it in the 80s. They probably owned it in the last 20 years, and this is how I could tell. The phone number had the area code, and in British Columbia, we didn't start putting area codes until 1996, so it's at least 20 years since this book has been, young Sonia Virk, I guess, owned the book. So I phoned the number on Sunday afternoon and identified myself, and the lady said that she was Sonia's mother. And she said, I hope you didn't lose the book or it was stolen, because if it was, I'll return it. And she said, no, Sonia has, she bought the book for school, and she's now interested in other books, and so we donated it to the book sale. So it was kind of neat to see that, and or to do that, and to talk to Sonia's mom, and she actually told me that she was happy that it went to a nice home, so...
Oh, good. And what does Sonia do now? Did you ask any further questions?
No, I didn't. I was surprised that someone actually picked up on a Sunday afternoon that I forgot to ask.
So that's interesting. So that didn't catch you off guard, because that's a conversation you initiated.
Yeah, I dialed the number,
right? Okay, well, that's interesting.
But yeah, no, I guess I should have asked what Sonia's doing, but... I didn't. I guess I don't know. It just never crossed my mind at the time. But I
would. Yeah, I just want to know what does Sonia do? Did she actually? What kind of book was it?
It was by Lawrence Martin. It was called The Presidents and the Prime Ministers. So it was the relationship between American presidents and Canadian prime ministers.
Hmm.
And yeah, it was published in the 80s. And it was actually sold very well. I have a copy of it that's paperback, what do you call those pocketbook types?
Right, yeah.
And so I like hardbacks, and so that's why I bought it. It was only $2, right? Or $3. So that's why I bought it. And I found other things too, and maybe I'll mention them next time, little inscriptions. And
yeah.
It's always fun going to, and then seeing the book, who owned the books. And, thanks to Google, you can, sometimes if they've died, you can see the obituaries.
Right.
There was one book that I bought. It was owned by a very famous architect who had designed some of the iconic buildings in Vancouver. So like the Marine Building, the York Theatre on Commercial Drive. And I Googled them on the weekend, and just a bunch of buildings that this person had designed. And so I thought that the book belonged to the old man, because the old man died in 1981. This book that I bought was published in 76, so I thought, well, maybe, he had owned it, because there were notes written.
Right.
But then I quickly figured out that the book actually didn't belong to the old man, it belonged to his daughter. And so I Googled the daughter, and it turns out she died in December 2015. So that makes sense that if she died in December, these books were probably given away, and so it's May, or the end of April now, and so... Anyway, so you get the whole... life story of all these people.
The line, how it goes, and how you can track and follow the lineage of these books.
And then one day, because I sign all the books in the flyleaf that I own them, and so one day somebody else will own them.
Yeah. Somebody else will be calling you. Do you leave your number in books?
No, I don't, no.
Okay, so I guess nobody will be calling you, but...
No, but I'll be dead by then, won't I?
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, it'll come up in the next few years
Yeah, because nobody steals books. Yeah, no one will steal books. I mean, no one's going to break in here and steal books. So, I mean, I don't have that to worry about. But
hey, you never know.
Yeah.
I hope you have all those insured.
Well, I looked into that a few years ago, and it's because the collection does number in the thousands. It's covered under house insurance. So.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, that's the other thing. If I do lose my books, I'll just go to the Times Colonist book sale, the next one next year.
And replace them all.
Because I was going through the Canadian history books, and, like, I mean, I had most of them. And there were very few that I didn't have, and those are the ones that I bought. So, anyway.
That'd be great. That's kind of bittersweet to replace all your books, but you get to do it at, like, one of your favorite bookstores, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of great.
Yeah, so that was my weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds like fun. So that's Two Peas in a Podcast for Monday, May 2nd.
In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.
And I'm Jackie Pierre. We'll be back in 7 days.